What an amazing group, huh?
Yes, it is.
My favorite yet, I think. Besides that, Jesus loves Mondays. I think that's his favorite day. I was just reading through those verses again, contemplating those verses again this morning, this conversation that Jesus is having with Thomas and with Philip. And Jesus tells them that he goes to prepare a place for them, going to go to the cross. And that place is going to be him. He's going to be the abiding place. And he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you'll be also. And then the conversation gets really interesting to me. Because Jesus almost kind of puts them to the test a little bit about what they've, like, if they've just figured out some things. And Jesus says, and you know the way that I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And then Jesus said to him, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then he says, if you had known me, now this is the interesting thing, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And then Philip answers and says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Now Jesus has just got through saying, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And then Philip asks the question, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus says to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, Jesus didn't say he was the Father, but he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but it's the Father abiding in me who's doing his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. And if you won't believe me because I said it, believe on account of the works themselves. In chapter 10, Jesus had said this, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. Now in John chapter 5, verse 19, John chapter 5, verse 30, and John chapter 8, verse 29, in John chapter 12, verse 49, before this upper room discourse, Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 5, when he healed the man who had been in his sickness for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, when he healed him, it was on the Sabbath. And he told him to pick up his pallet and walk. And the 39th law of Sabbath rules the Pharisees had created was you can't pick up anything and carry it. And yet he's picked up his pallet and walk. And so the Jews are really upset with Jesus. One, because he healed this man on the Sabbath. And then when they finally confront him, Jesus said, look, why would you be mad at me? I'm only doing the things I see the Father doing. He's the one who initiates all of this. And then they got really mad, wanted to kill him because now he referred to God as Father and his Father. So there were two issues going on. He healed on the Sabbath and he called God his Father. And he said, I didn't initiate this. That's verse 19. He said, the Father initiated this. So remember, one of Jesus' primary tasks in his incarnation was to make flesh and bone, put flesh and bone to God. Said, and he dwelt among us and we saw his glory. No man has seen God at any time. So Jesus came, clothed as human, so that humans could get a clear picture of what God's like. Because their understanding of God was not Father. They knew theologically, the Jews, that he was the Father of Israel, but they never used his name that way because they saw him as perfect and holy, and he is perfect and holy, but because of his perfection, holiness, and their sinfulness, they saw him as a God who's distant, who's keeping score. And therefore, all the rules that you had to keep, because every had more rules you have, better chance you had to get a few of them right. But of course, you get a lot of them wrong too. And but because he's keeping score, he also is just to judge, if he chooses to judge. They would use his name, the word Yahweh was the name that was used, and really only they would say the word Yah. But only the high priest on the Day of Atonement could say the word Yahweh once a year, the full name. But they never called him Father because that was too familiar, it was too personal. And yet Jesus comes, and over again he talks about God being Father. As I said yesterday in the Upper Room Discourse, in those five chapters, the last Bible study he has with his group, he mentions the Father 123 times. And he says, no one, I've come to take you to myself, that where I am, you'll be also. And then he says, for no one can go to the Father except through me. So one of the things that Jesus has done is when he says, don't you know that I've initiated nothing? I'm in the Father's in me, and he does his works, verse 10. So when Jesus reveals to Nathanael that he was a man without guile, that was the Father who did that. He knew the heart of Nathanael. When the water was changing the wine and it spared the embarrassment for this new bride and bridegroom, it was the Father doing that through Jesus. When Jesus was stewarding the life of the Father, in chapter 4, when he just loves on this woman at the well who'd been married five times, was living as a person, changes her life, loves this person who certainly was had broken a bunch of rules and had been sinful, yet he just loved on her as a free gift. He was revealing the reality of the Father. When he healed the nobleman's son in chapter 4, without just by speaking the word, didn't even go to his house, it was the Father who did that work through him. When he fed the 5,000 in chapter 6, that was the Father. When the woman caught in adultery and Jesus refused to stone her and wouldn't condemn her, that was the Father doing the works through him. In chapter 9, when he passes by the man born blind, it was the Father. In chapter 11, when Lazarus was healed, it was the Father. Over and over again, Jesus was trying to reveal the fact that this is who the Father is. And so he assumed, in light of the fact that he had said in front of his disciples, like five different times, it's the Father doing this stuff, it's the Father initiating this stuff, that when Philip says, well, Lord, show us the Father, Jesus is like going, you've missed the whole point. But see, the point, reason why they were saying that is that they just couldn't get it, that the Father was good, that his true nature was love. And even though Jesus was doing this cool stuff as the Messiah, they couldn't get that he was revealing the reality of the Father. And so when Philip said, show us the Father, Jesus said, have I been with you so long, Philip, that you didn't know? That when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And he says, don't you understand that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? And the words that I say, the things that I do, it's the Father doing the works through me. So what was Jesus saying to them? You got to understand that this Father is good. Why was that important? because he was telling them, I'm going to take you to this God. I'm going to take you to myself. And in me, we're going to go to the Father. And this Father I'm taking you to, this is who he is. This is what your future looks like. This is what eternity is going to be. Not with a perfectionist, but with a God who's love. That's a remarkable thing. And it was so important for him that they would understand that. Because if you'd have told a Jew, I'm going to take you straight to God, Yahweh, the Father, they'd have been scared to death. Because they were so imperfect. But Jesus said, this Father is good. I've showed it to you over and over again who he is. Now, in me, I'm going to take you to him. And you're going to live in his presence forever. This God who's so good. I just think that's awesome. You know, I think about, again, Caden, and not just Caden, but others, of course, but Caden was in Christ. He was already in the presence of the Father because he was seated in the heavenly places before he ever gave up his earth suit. But in giving up his earth suit, there was the completion of that. And he's living in the presence of this one who's so extraordinarily good, so amazing, this one who's love. That's why on the cross, when Jesus cried out, it's perfect, Tetelestai, one of the things he was saying is, Father, we have perfectly revealed the true nature of your love. Wow. That's going to be so much. That's good. Because I see through glass darkly now. Caden doesn't see through glass darkly anymore. He was seated in the heavenlies, but now all the filters have been taken away. When we lose our earth suit, all the filters are going to be taken away. Even though he's already taken us into the presence of the Father now, when all the filters are going to be taken away, can you imagine how spectacular that's actually going to be? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.